Are you all right?
Yes, very well, thank you.
That's good. This is my last week. I get a few weeks off after this. You'll have seen if you've got our newsletter that we're starting a new series next week. James is up, then we've got Liz, and then Math is preaching at the end of the month. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about this series. And what I want to do this morning is just introduce this series to you and put a framework around it for everyone that's going to be coming up in the following weeks. And we've got some treats for you in March, okay, some new people preaching. It's going to be absolutely incredible. I'm really excited about what God is going to be doing. And I just know that this series is going to give us just the faith that we need, whatever it is we're facing right now, the faith that we need to face it. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. And so I want to start, I want to read the same scripture in two different versions to you. Where the framework for this whole series, so this isn't the scripture I'm preaching on necessarily this morning, but this frames the whole series. And it's found in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And I want you to remember this verse as we go through the next couple of months as we're talking about this whole thing of you got this. And it says this in 2 Peter 1, 3, it says, his divine power has given us everything. Everyone say everything.
Everything
we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. I learned it like this when I was a young person, okay? He has given us everything that we need to do life and godliness. It says it this way in the Passion Translation, and I love this. It says, everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. Do you know that everything you need to live your life with Christ is already in you? It's already been deposited. Whatever you're facing today, everything you need to live your life and to do life well and to do life kind of with God and with the Holy Spirit, everything you need is already in you.
Yeah. Right.
We just need to learn how to bring it out of us. God has already deposited, when we came into a knowledge of Christ and when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we gave God control of our lives and when we said, God, we want to live for you, we want you to be Lord, as we've been singing this morning, everything you needed at that moment for your life was deposited into you. Because everything we need is found in Christ. Everything we need is found in our relationship with God and with the Holy Spirit. And everything we need when we come to a knowledge of who he is deposited in us. Everything we need. Everything. Everyone say everything.
Everything.
Come on, I want us to get into this morning. Everything that we need to do our life in the way that God needs us to live is already inside of us. God has already sent the answer. God has already sent you what you need. It's already on its way. It may not have reached you yet, but it's already there. It's already sent. Every provision, every person that we need, every relationship, he has already deposited every characteristic and personality trait that we are going to need to live the way he has called us to live. Everything has already been deposited. Tells us so in 2 Peter 1 verse 3. Everything you need for life and godliness is already in you. Most of you, if you were here the first couple of weeks of the year, will have seen me put things on the chair trying to give everyone the dates of stuff that is to come throughout the year. And so we put these things down. And one of the dates on that is a date in March where we're going to have a gift day as a church. And we're going to bring an offering. And we're going to bring an offering for God to further his kingdom and to bless this house and to build this house even more. And so we kind of had a conversation, Math and I, and about what are we going to give, how are we going to give, all that kind of stuff. And we put something down. We said, we're going to give this. Not telling you what it is, but we've made our decision. That, and unless God really reveals something different to us, this is what we'll be giving on gift day. And how many of you know when you make decisions like that, sometimes the enemy tries to undermine the decision? Anyone ever been there? Yeah, yeah. So Caitlin came out of school the next day with holes in her shoes. Ollie's zip broke on his coat and he had holes in his shoes. And we knew that if we were going to save for what we're going to give, we couldn't do that and do the shoes. So we're like, okay, what do we do? Because don't want to send my kids to school in shoes with holes in them. And so I prayed. I was like, okay, God, you know what we've said. We're going to have to. So you're going to have to provide one way or the other for us. And I very rarely pray those prayers, okay? And I very rarely come to God like that. And someone came and gave me an envelope. That never happens to me. I'm not one of those people with a whole mirage of stories like this. And I came home and I just said to Matt, someone's given me an envelope and there's this amount of money in it. Which meant we could still save and we can still give, but yet we can still get our kids the shoes that they need and the coat and all of that kind of stuff. You see, everything that you need to do life the way God has called you to do it has already been given. Yeah. And sometimes it might take a little while for it to get to us. I didn't need that envelope 3 weeks before that. I needed it on that week. And the week when we needed it, God provided for us. And it was absolutely incredible, okay? Because actually we wanted to honor God with what he had given us. Now, if that hadn't have come, then God would have had to have done it another way because we'd have had to have bought the shoes. So there was nothing surer than that. But I want to encourage you this morning that God has already deposited, he's already sent, he's already got everything that you need to do your life the way he's calling you to do it. He will never ask you to do something and then not provide in the middle of it. I've been a Christian a long time, and there have been seasons where I've been in plenty, and there have been seasons where I'm eating Frosties for breakfast, dinner, and tea, because that's all I can eat, because that's all I can afford. And it's not even Kellogg's, do you know what I mean? It's like Morrison's Own, okay? So there have been seasons where everything's been okay, and there have been seasons where it hasn't been okay. But this is what I've found, that when God asks me to do something, he always equips me to do it. So whatever it is you're going through today, however hard, however easy, however difficult, however much you might be struggling, do you know what? You got this. You got this. Everyone say, you got this. You got to learn this phrase because we're going to be talking about it a lot. And what we're going to do over the next couple of months is we're going to look at different things that we've got, different things that we possess, different things that we have because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what? This morning, I am not undermining our struggle. Because our struggle is sometimes very real and very relentless. It is. And I do life with most of you in this room to one extent or another. And I know that sometimes our struggle is relentless and it seems to never stop. And it seems that our prayers bounce off the ceiling. And I know those situations. And it seems sometimes like we've prayed and has God really answered? But I want to tell you this morning, everything you need for life and godliness, everything you need this morning, everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by his divine power. This morning, you got this. You got this. You've got it this morning. And I want to encourage you, and we want to encourage you over the next few months that actually there are different things that we've got. We've got the courage to do life the way that we need to do it. It's already been deposited. One of the weeks we're looking at is we've got the grit. We've got the determination. We've got the attitudes already. We've got the faith. We've got everything that we need to do life the way God has called us to do it. You've already got it. Yeah. We just need to find out how to get it out of us. And this week, the title that I've got for what I'm going to speak about is simply this. You got the words. Ever felt like you don't know what to say? Anyone else ever been there? I've had moments like that this week in different aspects of my life, family life, you know, work life. But this is the thing. Every word I need to speak, God has already got for me. Every word I need to say, God's already got for me. I want to let you into the life of a pastor. Can I just do that for a couple of minutes? Okay, is that all right? I want to let you into the life of a pastor because this is what happens to me on a regular basis, all right? And so it might be after a Sunday service or it might be a phone call on Monday morning or whatever, but I get people come up to me, numerous people, and this is okay, by the way. I'm not having a go or anything like that. But I get people come up to me and say, I need to see you this week. And my usual response is I'll check the diary because I'd just like to put this out there. Anything you say to me on a Sunday morning after the service, before the service, during the service, I am liable to forget. Okay, so I'm just warning you all of that. It's not that I don't like you. I forget everything everyone says to me on a Sunday. All right, so I'm just kind of in the zone. I'm preaching or I'm leading or whatever. But people come and say, I need to see you this week. And they always point their finger at me. And I'm like, okay. And I normally say this, what do you want to see me about? And usually my answer back is, I will tell you when I see you. I'm like, okay. Any clues at all? No, I will tell you when I see you. And what I normally find is that I go into situations, I have no idea what I'm going to be talking about. I have no idea what the situation is. I have no idea why someone wants to see me. Do they like me today? Do they not like me today? Has it been a good week? Has it been a bad week? Was the worship too loud? Was the worship too quiet? What did they not like the chairs? I have no idea. Is it a big, deep theological thing that they need to see me about? And I walk into situations saying this, God, give me the words because I have no idea what I'm going to be talking about in the next hour. And that's kind of my life. And I say, I kind of press the issue with people. And I know, actually, if you want the best out of me, let me go away and think about what I need to come and talk to you about. Because actually, if you want the best out of me, that's it. But there are sometimes I sit in situations going, God, I have no idea what to say to this one. I have no idea what I meant to say or how I meant to respond or, you know, do I say, actually, I don't know about that bit of the temple and I probably need to go and read up on it or how do I respond to this? But this is what the Bible tells me, that I've got the words because I've got everything that I need to live my life through what God has called me to do. It's very rare that I am speechless. Because I like talking. It's a good job God called me to be a preacher, really. I like using words. I like talking. Very rare that I am speechless. But there are times when we're in situations where this happens. But we have to come to a place where we can trust God enough to help us in those moments. And what I want to do is I want to prove to you, biblically, actually straight from the words of Jesus, that we've got this. It says this in Luke 12. This is my main text for this morning. Luke 12, verses 11 and 12. It says this, and remember this. This is Jesus talking. When people accuse you before everyone and forcefully drag you before the religious leaders and authorities, do not be troubled. Don't worry about defending yourself or be concerned about how to answer their accusations. Simply be confident and allow the spirit of wisdom access to your heart, and he will reveal in that very moment what you are to say to them. That's taken from the Passion Translation. I love that. In those moments where you're speechless, in those moments where you don't know what to say, in those moments where you need to defend yourself or defend the faith or defend, you know, whatever it is that is going on, God will give you the words to say in that moment. We have everything that we need for life and godliness. And in those moments where we're speechless, where we feel powerless, where we feel that somebody's got the upper hand, God will, in that moment, give you the words to say. He may not give you the words to say 10 minutes before the meeting. He may not give you the words to say, you know, 2 days before you need them, but in the moment, in the moment, God will give you the words to say because you got the words. You've got this. You've got it already. It's already in you. We just sometimes need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit to bring it out of us. Do you know, words are so powerful and can either take us into or away from victory. They can either take us into everything God's got for us, or they can shut the door on something that should have been open. And I want to look this morning, just for a few moments, at three times in the Bible where people rocked up and God and the Holy Spirit spoke to them about what they should say. I've got three examples. There are loads more, But I love these three examples. And the first one is found in 1 Samuel 17, verses 45 to 47. And most of us will know the account of David and Goliath, a good old Sunday school story, okay? And I got told off when I told the story of David and Goliath because I told the whole story, including the chopping off of the head. And I got told you shouldn't tell small children that, okay? And which is why I stand here and some of the people go out there with our kids. Okay, so, but David was faced with Goliath. David was faced with the giant that no one else could defeat. And when David went down and when he was picking up stones, Goliath was shouting all this stuff at him. And all of a sudden we're told David stood up and he faced Goliath. And he looked at him in the eye, and this is what he said to him. David said to the Philistine, you don't even get his name. He's called the Philistine. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down, and I'll cut off your head. See, it's in the Bible. We should teach children the Bible, I'll tell you. Okay. This very day, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into my hands. I don't know about you, but those are some words. Those are some amazing words that this young lad, all of a sudden, in the moment, when he's faced with the giant that no one else can defeat, all of a sudden, in the moment, God speaks to him, and this is what he delivers. The second one is found in 1 Kings 18. I love this story. I absolutely love it. I don't know if it's because it mentions toilets and stuff like that in it. And really, I'm a kid deep down. But I absolutely love this story. And it says this in 1 Kings 18. We're just going to get a couple of words. Verses 22 to 26. It's the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. I love this story. So there's hundreds of prophets of Baal. And they're coming to kill the man of God. And he sets them a challenge. He says, right, we're both going to build altars, and the one that is consumed, that will prove whose God is really the Lord. And this is what Elijah says. It's him versus hundreds of prophets of Baal. He says this, then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God. Then all the people said, what you say is good. All of a sudden, in the moment, he's faced with 450 prophets of Baal who are all out to kill him. And all of a sudden, in the moment, he begins to declare the words that God gave him. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given and they prepared it. And we read this story that the prophets of Baal started to dance around the bull that they had prepared on the altar, and they started to call on the name of their God, and nothing happened. And so the Bible tells us that Elijah started to taunt them. I love this story. He starts to say things like, is your God dead? Is he deaf? Can he not hear you? Has he just gone, he says in a more kind of, you know, kind of revised version, has he gone to relieve himself? Is he on the loo? Where is your God? Because there's no fire happening here. And then we're told when it was his turn, he called on the name of God. He called on the name of the Lord, and fire consumed the offering. You see, in the moment, God gave him the words. And if we go into the New Testament, and we look in Luke chapter 4, this is a story of Jesus when he was in the wilderness. And the devil comes to him and he begins to tempt him. And he begins to say to him, Jesus, you know, I will give you this if you will do this. And we read three times, and those of you who are familiar with this will know it. But we read three times Jesus' answer to Satan. And it says this in verse 4, Jesus answered, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Verse 8, Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Verse 12, Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. You know what? There are times when God will come through and give us the words to say in those times where we don't know what to say. There are times when God will come and he will begin to speak to us as we're sat in meetings and as we're sat with people. Maybe you're sat talking to someone who is in despair. Maybe you're sat in a meeting at work. Maybe you're sat with your family who don't know what to do. And the Holy Spirit can begin to talk to us and give us the words to say, because you got the words. God's already got them prepared for you. He already knows what needs to be said in different situations. And what I want to do quickly this morning is look at three things that I think kind of speak to me from the words that I've just read to you about Elijah and David and Jesus. And three things about the words that we say and the words that God wants us to say. And the first thing is this. Number one, there is confidence in their words. There's confidence. They don't come across as timid. They come across as confidence. A lot of the time, our failing comes down to confidence rather than something not being right. We've got to be confident in what God has given us. So when you watch programs like The Apprentice or Dragon's Den, what is it that really comes across when people are picked or when people's project is said that is the best? Usually, a lot of it's down to their confidence. Because if you believe in what you're saying, someone else will. Someone else who's listening to you will believe it as well. And what David and Elijah especially were saying was pretty impossible. But confidence attracts victory. When you know that God has asked you to do something, the way that you can confidently speak about it will attract victory, will attract success. Hebrews 10:35 says this, don't throw away your confidence because it will be richly rewarded. And a lot of that is speaking about your confidence in what Jesus did on the cross. Don't throw it away, because I'm going to reward it. But the reason today I can say you've got the words in the situation that you are in is because of what Jesus did on the cross. So don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw away that confidence that God has given you. What is it that gives us confidence in speaking God's word? I've got three really, really quick things this morning. The first is this: practice. Do you know what? The more we speak what God wants us to say rather than what we would like to say, the more it will become like second nature to us. There are things that I go into and situations that I go into going, God, I need to speak your words because my words are going to bring a harshness to this. My words are probably going to destroy something. My words are not going to be right and you need to help me. And the more I do that, the easier it becomes. There needs to be belief in what we're saying. There needs to be a belief in you that God's words will accomplish what they need to accomplish. God's words don't return to him empty, it says in Isaiah, but they accomplish everything that he sets out for them to accomplish. And we've got to leave the results up to him sometimes, but we've got to say what he tells us to say. And the third thing is that there's the realization of who the author is. When God gives you something to say, it comes from his heart and in his mouth. And all you've got to do is be the mouthpiece. I can remember when we used to do street work. This is not my favorite thing to do. It's kind of out of my comfort zone. And we used to go down into the little town that we lived in when we were at Bible college. And always went to the car park behind Waitrose. It was a posh town. Okay, no Aldi in sight. It was all Waitrose. All right, but let me just say, the same kids hang out behind Waitrose than what do hang out behind Aldi. Okay, and they have the same issues and the same problems. They might be behind the posh supermarket, but they have the same stuff going on in their life. And we used to go down, and we'd split off into teams, and it was detached youth work. So it was literally walk up to a gang of kids and begin talking to them. And so we walked up to this gang of kids, and we kind of made relationship. We'd go, we'll see you next Friday night. And me and my team went into the same bit every Friday, and we saw the same group of kids every Friday. And there was one time I was sat down talking to this girl, I'll never forget her, and we were talking, and I knew how I would answer her. So she was talking about, she was feeling that she was rubbish and all of that kind of stuff. And I knew how I would answer her. I knew how, you know, the buzzwords to build her esteem and all of that. I'd just been taught it in Bible college, okay? So I knew the right words to say. And this phrase came into my head. And I'm like, is the phrase in my head or what I've just been taught? Which am I going to go with? I'm like, I'm going to go with the phrase in my head. And I said these words to her. I said, you know what? Every life is created by God and is precious to him. Do you know what? I thought I was speaking about her. I thought I was talking to her about who she was in God or who she could be in God. And a few weeks later, we went back to the same place and she saw me and she came over and she said, Joe, what you said to me the other week helped me make a decision. Is that okay? What's that? You see, because what I wanted to say to her was words to build her esteem. And if I was saying it, I would have said this. Do you know what? God made you and he thinks you're great. But I got this thing going around in my head that I had to say to her, every life is created by God and is precious. And she said to me, I've got something to tell you. I said, okay. And she said, I've found out that I'm pregnant. And I was making a decision on what to do with the pregnancy. And the fact that you told me that every life is precious and every life is created by God, I've decided I'm going to go through with the pregnancy and I'm not going to have a termination. And I sat there going, flipping heck. You don't realize sometimes when you're in the moment and God just drops something into your head, wow. I thought I was saying it to speak one thing into her, but actually God was using it for a whole other thing, and she hadn't told anybody about the pregnancy at that point. I want to say to you today, let's have confidence in what God gives us to say, and let's say it realizing who the author of it is, because you don't know what the words you are saying are going to do in someone's life. God knew the exact wording she needed to hear. And I had been taught, this is what you say in this situation. And with what she was presenting to me, I knew the textbook answer, and I didn't give the textbook answer. And I went away from that meeting thinking, have I done the right thing? But just this line was in my mind the whole time I was talking to her. I'd also been taught to listen to God. Because sometimes God isn't textbook, is he? Sometimes God takes us off script a little bit. Do you know what? You don't start out in this way facing Goliath or on Mount Carmel, but when you go through the steps enough of speaking God's words, then you'll be entrusted with more. I want to ask you this question today. What situations do you need God's words in right now and not your own? Maybe for some of you, you need to scrap your own words in a situation and you need to sit and you need to say, God, tell me what to say. And when we ask God that, God will tell us because we've got this. So the first thing that I noticed about Elijah, David, and Jesus was that there was a confidence in their words. The second thing was this, that they had a relationship with God. I love the words in Luke that I read this morning that says, allow the spirit of wisdom access to your heart. Allow the spirit of wisdom access to your heart. Do you know what? We have to learn to lean in to the relationship we have with God. We have to learn to lean into his presence, lean into his spirit, because he will tell us what to say. And I really felt that for some of us here this morning, we need to clear out some of the other clutter and voices so that we can hear him. You can't give access where there is no space. Where your heart and your mind are filled up with all other stuff, there is no access to the Holy Spirit. And for some of us this morning, we need to clear out. David had to clear out Goliath's voice, Saul's voice, and his brother's voice, and say what God gave him. He had to clear out all the other stuff. He had to clear out, you're just a shepherd boy. He had to clear out everything, and he had to allow God to speak through him and to give him the victory. Do you know, it's not just about the big things. When we need to listen to God, we need to learn to listen to him in the small things of life as well. That's our practice ground. That is where he'll begin to speak to us. Do you know, on the day that David fought Goliath, he first of all had a conversation with his dad. And his dad says, David, just take this pack up to your brothers. Then he went from his dad and he went to his brothers and he saw the army being afraid of the Philistine. And he gave the pack up to his brothers. And we see in the scripture just some engagement with his brothers. And you know, guys, what's going on? And no one can defeat this guy. And he's like, well, I can. And his brothers said, no, you can't. And he said, yes, I can. He left his brothers and he went to the king. And he says, who's going to go out and fight this Philistine? And the king said, no one can defeat him. And he said, I can defeat him. I've killed the lion, I've killed the bear, and I'm going to take down this one as well. And the king put his armor on him, and David said, I can't wear this, and he takes it off. And my guess is as he stood, this would be me. As you then stand and the giant is facing you, you remember what your dad said. You remember what your brothers said. You remember what the king said. You remember how no one said you could do it other than the one whose voice matters. And you've got, if it was me, I would be hearing, you can't do this, you're too small, you're too weak, all you've done is be a shepherd boy, you're not even in the army, all you had to do was bring the pack up, why are you now stood out here? And David had to clear his heart and his mind of all of those things and allow God to speak through him. You come at me with the javelin and spear, you think you can take me down, but I am telling you, this is your last fight, mate. And that's my abbreviation, okay? I am telling you, I am taking you down, and not only you, but all of them. You're all going today because this is the day where God is going to defeat you. This is the day where God is going to come through. And all of a sudden, these words began to come out of his mouth because he cleared his life and his heart and his mind of the other stuff. Our relationship with God will give us access to hear his voice and know what he is saying to us. I want to say to us this morning that our relationship with God is key if we're ever going to hear the words that he wants us to speak. Jesus puts it like this in the New Testament. He says, my sheep know my voice. You know, the shepherd will talk daily to the sheep. And sheep know their shepherd's voice. And I want to say to you this morning that actually your relationship with God is going to be key in you hearing his voice for the situation that you're in. The Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. It tells us that Elijah didn't die, God just took him. And obviously Jesus was God's son. Their words came out of their relationship. The fact that they could hear God in the midst of everything else going on around them was because of their relationship. When you know the Father, you know his opinion, and you'll be able to use that in every situation. I really feel that this word for some of you is key this morning. You need confidence. You need your relationship with God to be good. And then the third thing is this, that all three of them knew their enemy. They knew who they were speaking to. And they knew that they weren't just speaking to the person stood in front of them. They knew the spirit behind that person that they were talking to. When I was in school, I went to a very mixed race school. And I was actually in a minority. And I was in secondary school, I think I was about year 10. Or for those of us who were in school before that, fourth year. Okay, you all now know what I'm talking about. Okay, fourth year. I was in fourth year. I was about 15 years old. And our school had this kind of cinema room in kind of a bit of a basement of the school. So I was walking through the basement one day. I was going to PE, and the gym was straight across from the basement. I was a little bit late. Okay, so I was kind of running through the basement, and there was a boy in the basement who decided that he took a bit of a shine to me for those few moments. And so he came, and he wanted me to do stuff that I was not prepared to do. That I'll leave it at that. And I was kind of cornered by this lad, And all of a sudden, like, in me, I wanted to shout help and scream, okay? But I was cornered. I couldn't do anything. And all of a sudden, these words came into my mind. I was a Christian. I knew God. And I'd prayed that morning. And you know, I had a good relationship with God. And these words came into my mind. You have no right to do this. Get off. And as you can imagine, I didn't say it politely. okay? And I just said, you do not have the right to do this. Now get off. And for a second, his guard came down. For a second, he took his mind off what he was just about to do, which gave me the perfect opportunity to engage my knee in a certain part of his anatomy and run like crazy, okay? And it was just like, you have no right to do this. Because his culture tells him he has every right. His culture had told him, you can do or say or be however you want with a woman, and it doesn't matter. You have the right to do that. And all of a sudden, what I spoke didn't just speak to him, it spoke to him culturally. And he was outraged with the words that came out of my mouth. And like I say, he dropped his guard, and I was able to hurt him considerably and run like crazy, ran up and told my teachers. And the deputy head shook my hand and said, really well done. And he came up thinking that I was going to be in trouble. And I got a handshake, and I think he got a suspension. That's kind of how it worked. And you see, the thing is, I disarmed what he had been told. Totally disarmed it. Totally disarmed everything he thought he knew. You've got to know your enemy. He thought he had the right to do whatever he wanted. And me saying, me using those exact words knocked him off his guard. Do you know what? We have to know our enemy. We have to know the one who is the father of lies, who will twist God's word to mean something else. When you're defending your faith, or when you're having confidence or leaning into the Holy Spirit, it's essential, because the neat answers don't always fit. The neat answers. One of my favorite people to listen to is a man called Ravi Zacharias. And he's a brilliant apologist. I mean, he just knows every. You know those people that know everything? He's one of those people. He knows everything. And he always manages to get the truth across. But I love the fact that he doesn't do it the same way every time. And he'll talk about, someone asked me this question, and he'll read the person as well as what they're saying. And I love the fact that, you know, the truth is the truth, and there is no getting away from that. So in the end, the answer is going to be the same, but sometimes our delivery needs to be different. And I want to say to us today that we need to know our enemy, especially in defending who we are in God and in who God is in the world in which we live. We have to be able to recognize the enemy's tactics if we're ever going to disarm him. The lie may be the same, but the way he has worked it into someone's life will be different every time you get asked the same question. But I want to say to you today, you've got the words. When you walk into situations this week, you've got the words. When you walk into that meeting at work this week, you've got the words. When you walk into that pastoral situation, when you walk into that family situation this week, you've already got the words. God is there. And if we would just lean in to his spirit, if we would just lean in to our relationship with him, if we would just lean in and ask God, God, what do you want me to say? How do you want me to say it? Because a lot of the time with me, if I walk in and use what I want to say and the way I want to say it, it's not going to help. But when I walk in leaning in to my relationship with God, it's not about being right. For someone here, you're going into a situation this week and you're going in going, but this is right. It's not about being right. It's about saying what God needs you to say. It's about the end result. It's about coming out at the end as the person God needs you to be. It's not always about being right. It's about listening to the voice of God. And sometimes we've got to go in and we've got to say the hard things. And sometimes we've got to go in and we've got to defend ourselves. And sometimes we've got to go in and we've got to say it as it is. But I want to say to you this morning, if you're thinking, I don't know what to say, God's got this. He's got it. If you're thinking, I don't know what to say to that person, or I don't know what to say in that situation, I want you to stand where you are right now, because I want to pray for you. If you're going, I don't know what to say, or I do know what to say, but I don't know if that's the right thing to say. If you're going into a situation like that, if you're in a situation like that, I want you to stand where you are, And if there's no one, I'll close the service. But you've got the words. Because he's got you. And he knows what you need to say. And he knows the right thing. And as long as we're willing to lean in and do what he tells us to do, things will work through. David didn't wake up one morning thinking, I'm going to fight Goliath today. But that's the way his life journeyed. Elijah didn't wake up probably thinking, I'm going to go up against 450 prophets of Baal today. But that's the way that God took him. This morning, be confident in the God who you serve, because he will give you the words to say. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you this morning that we've got this. And we've not got it because of anything to do with ourselves. God, we've got it because of who you are. We've got it because the Bible tells us that you will give us the words to say. We've got it because we know that when we give your spirit access into our heart, that you will begin to speak through it. And Lord, I pray for every person on their feet right now that God, that you will, Holy Spirit, that even right now in this atmosphere, you will begin to speak to them about the language that they are to use, about the wording that they are to use. God, in those situations that might leave us speechless, in those situations that might make us angry, in those situations that might make us emotional and we think we can't do it, Lord God, I thank you this morning that everything we need to say, you've already got. Lord, I pray this morning that every person on their feet will make a choice right now to say what you say and not what they want to. That God, we will know our enemy. The Bible says we don't wage war against flesh and blood, but we wage war against principalities and powers of this dark world. So Lord, I pray that we won't go in to verbally fight people, but Lord, I pray as we talk that we will say what needs to be said, but in a way that's going to bring about success and victory for us and for them. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name right now that, Lord God, you'll begin to deposit words into people's minds and into their hearts that they can take away from this morning and use in the situations in their life, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.